May I please call the roll?
Ms. Davis. Mr. Dombrowski.
Here.
Mr. Lucchese.
Here.
Lavach.
Here.
Ms. Schumacher.
Here.
Mr. Smetana.
Here.
Chairman Martin.
Here. All right. So we would ask anybody who's going to address the board tonight on any of our agenda items, would you please stand and get sworn in?
To those who will testify at the public hearing, you are reminded that the River Forest Village Code makes it unlawful for any person to knowingly make a false statement of material fact to the village in connection with any application, report, affidavit, oath, certification, or attestation. Violations are punishable as a petty offense with a fine. Do you solemnly swear to or affirm that you will give true testimony relative to the matter before this Zoning Board of Appeals?
At the first matter on the agenda this evening is a variation request for 934 Park. Those owners have asked us to continue the matter to our next scheduled meeting on July 14th. Before we do that, can we have an indication of whether or not we might have a quorum on that date? July 14th. Anybody know they're not going to be here? Okay. So would somebody make a motion to continue the zoning variation request for 934 Park to July 14th?
I will make a motion to continue it to July 14th.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? May call the roll.
Mr. Smetana.
Yes.
Ms. Schumacher.
Yes.
Mr. Plavach.
Yes.
Mr. Lucchese.
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski.
Yes.
Chairman Martin.
Yes. All right, the next matter on the agenda are the zoning variation requests for the property at 1443 Forest. If the applicant or the applicant's representative would approach the microphone and make your presentation, please.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity to present tonight. I didn't think I'd be able to because I was supposed to be out of town, but in the wonderful world we live in, travel plans change very quickly. So glad to be with you tonight. At its most basic, you've read quite a bit and hopefully had a chance to look at the drawings. What we're looking at is extending an existing wall 5 feet with an addition to in a garage, and we want to do that in the plane of the existing wall. And there's a couple limitations that we ran up against within the zoning code. Oh, my name is Chris Wolmuth. I'm the architect for the project. The origin of the project is an addition to the second floor of an existing garage, and the goal was to, at the beginning of the project, was to put an elevator in the home. The family has older parents who are currently living with them, have for some time, who are having increasing mobility issues, getting up and down stairs. So adding the elevator became really important to really maintaining them in the house. The garage was the one place we could put it where we could enter from grade, get to the first floor, and also get to the second floor. So in looking to do that, what we needed to do was take up space in the garage adjacent to the house. The garage is an attached garage, but that would essentially take up a good portion of the first parking spot. So to maintain the usability of the two-car garage, we're looking to add that 5 feet. It's a minimal addition to create a usable garage. If you look at your plans, it's not like we're putting 5 or 6 feet on the end for storage or anything like that. It's really the minimum that we needed to do to maintain that usable two-car garage. It also is a benefit upstairs because they're adding a handicapped accessible bathroom, and that's a bathroom with both grab bars around the toilet, a zero curb shower, and again, it's to help their parents remain in the house, and honestly, long-term, the current owners, as they age, to continue to be in the house as well. I'm doing a lot more of this work, looking at elevators, looking at ADA compliant accessibility, bathrooms, things like that. So it's a long-term value, I think, for both the owners. We really believe the addition meets the fundamental goals of the code in terms of, I think it actually creates a safer home. Right now, there is an overhang that's on the north side of the house that's an unrated soffit that's adjacent property. We would actually be moving that up 20 feet, so the proximity to anything happening on that lot would be further, and it will also be fire rated. The addition will be done in non-combustible materials, being cement, board, or stucco. We're still kind of deciding between each of those, but again, very fire retardant materials. And then the other goal is obviously bulk, not wanting to impose on the neighbors. There have been a series of letters that I think Mr. Raddatz has received from the homeowners in the adjacent property supporting the project. Excellent. So they don't have concerns about it. And again, what we've done is gone for the minimum addition to create utility for the garage. We haven't expanded beyond that. We haven't gone for more for storage or anything beyond what they have right now. So we really believe that that really meets the needs of the homeowners in terms of creating a really multi-generational space, which again is something that I think adds a lot of value to the community. While really trying to respect the goals of this zoning ordinance in general. Let me also add that I've come up against this as an architect once before, and it was fairly late in the process when we had to design and didn't realize that we needed this type of setback. That was a much more extensive addition, and we actually went through the process of changing it because I didn't think it was really right to request a significant zoning ordinance change, and we were building new. So we could make adjustments to the plan and the site and really make it work within the zoning ordinance, which we did. Because we're building on an existing structure and we want that to feel whole and complete and not kind of carved up a little bit, that's kind of the layers of the source of this. I gave you images both with the what I call the notch out and also without. And I think with the notch, which would be zoning code compliant, it actually draws more attention to the work than if it's just squared off. Obviously, that's a personal opinion. You guys might have your own, but I really think it feels whole. It doesn't draw attention to itself. It's something that as the neighbors look at it, it feels natural and part of the structure. And I think the owners have done a nice job instructing me to really make the addition fit with the house. We haven't gone with a horizontal siding or a cheap material. They're looking at stucco. They've added brick detailing to tie it to the existing home, really make it work. So with that said, I'm happy to answer any questions that anyone might have as best I can.
I have a question.
Sure.
Chris Blavach. Real quick, you said you had letters from the neighbors. I see three letters here. I don't see a letter from the neighbor directly to the north who it would affect the most.
My understanding from the owners that they were supportive of the project. If getting that formally, I don't know, Cliff, have you received others since the packet went out?
I only received the three that are part of the packet.
Okay. I can only speak to what the owners told me is that the owner was intending to send a letter. If that's something that if it need to be contingent on that and getting that in, I think that's something that we could do. But my understanding is that they were in support of it and were intending to write it.
Any other questions? Okay. Anything else you want to say to us?
No, that's great. Thank you.
Cliff, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
They're asking for two variations. I don't understand why they need a variation for the first floor wall.
Okay. The existing house is at, according to the survey, 2.76 feet off of the north property line at the northeast corner, so roughly 2'9". The particular exception to the zoning ordinance that allows the continuation of a nonconforming wall, which maintains a nonconforming side yard setback, starts by saying that you're allowed to continue the wall matching the setback or 3 feet, whichever is greater. The submitted design seeks to match the setback at 2.76 feet, which is less than the 3 feet. So in the case, the requirement of the ordinance would say that you should step back to 3 feet, therefore at the ground level, because they are asking for it at 2.76, this is also non-complying.
But as I read the ordinance, in E2 says a non-conforming wall, which is what we have, built along a non-conforming side yard, what we have, may be extended an additional 20 feet as of right into the non-conforming side yard. So I don't understand. Based on that sentence, I don't understand why they are requesting a variation for the wall.
My take on it, and the village attorney can enter an opinion, is that the first sentence of that paragraph says, in addition to an existing structure that does not meet this standard, must maintain either 3-foot side yard or a side yard that is the same as the width of the current side yard, whichever is wider. And then the second sentence is about extending 20 feet. My take on it is that to allow it, you have to comply with both.
So you have to start the addition for the second floor 3 more inches in.
The first floor.
We're talking only about the first floor, okay.
Right now. For the first floor, okay. That you would have to start 3 more inches.
Despite what could appear to be potentially the rest of that second sentence, I believe indicates that that non-conforming side yard setback height of a wall is a non-conforming side yard. So,
I'm not talking about that. First floor wall.
Or the second floor going up and also the 5 feet.
The second floor is the second variation they're asking for.
They're also asking the 5 foot extra for the elevator to bump out the garage an extra 5 feet.
Yeah, but I'm saying I think they can do that as a matter of right on the first floor. So there appears to be inconsistencies in this. This is one of the reasons I think that the zoning code is going to be reviewed. Is that right?
That's what I have heard.
Well, that's the only question I had about the necessity for the.
We applied based on a preliminary response. That's why that was included.
Anybody else got any questions or any comments?
Because it looks like it's lower than the roof line of the original. Is that true?
Correct.
Right. Anybody? I agree.
Right.
I didn't think it was necessary.
We left
the second floor. Right. Anybody else have any comments, any questions? Anybody want to make a motion for us?
Make a motion to approve both variances.
Moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All right, you want to call the roll, please?
Mr. Smetana.
This is Mary Shoemaker, and I can't hear anyone.
And I don't see any detriment to the public.
Ms. Shoemaker.
Yes.
Kovach.
Yes.
Mr. Lucchese.
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski.
Yes.
Ms. Davis.
Yes.
Chairman Martin.
Yes. So that'll be the recommendation of the Zoning Board of Appeals to the Village Trustees. You can talk to Mr. Raddatz to see when this will be heard by the trustees.
Very much. Appreciate your time.
The next matter on the agenda this evening is a proposed text amendment to the zoning code. One of our jobs is to consider these proposed amendments to the zoning code and to conduct a public hearing and then to make a recommendation to the board. So this is a proposed amendment to the zoning code. I don't know, Mr. Houseel, are you going to present the amendment or are you just commenting on it on behalf of the village?
I can just comment on behalf of the village. Matthew may be able to tee up how this got here, why it got here, what the Sustainability Commission is trying to accomplish. They then reached out to me to help them craft the text amendment.
I'll provide a little bit of background, and I believe a member of the River Forest Sustainability Committee is also online. So the Sustainability Committee, one of its goals is to try and have the village reach a silver designation for Soul Smart, which is an organization that's sponsored by the Department of Energy to encourage solar industry. The village currently has a bronze designation, and one of the requirements for reaching a silver designation is to clarify language or state that solar energy systems could be spelled out in your zoning code, and that is why the Sustainability Committee made a recommendation to the Village Board to petition for this language. And John comes in with drafting. He worked with staff and also members of the Sustainability Commission to draft some language for the
Mr. Simon, is there anything else that you would like to tell us about this amendment?
Yeah, hi, good evening. Thanks for having this on the agenda. Just to add, the designation for Soul Smart Silver is something that the Village Board of Trustees tasked us to do. And just to kind of pile on a little bit, what that designation does is allows access to solar to be easier for the residents of River Forest. It tries to kind of break down the barriers to make putting a rooftop system on easy, or as easy as possible. And I'm here to answer any questions as well. Thank you.
Okay. Houseel, do you want to tell us what you think?
Yeah, I'll walk through this pretty quickly. Again, when the Sustainability Commission and staff reached out, we've worked with countless cities across the United States to do zoning ordinances, including solar. So we reached into our database of a lot of the solar ordinances we've written. We pulled some stuff out and worked with staff and Sustainability Commission. There's really a couple of primary objectives. One is to meet the Sustainability Commission's for the SolSmart was to try to lower the barrier of entry for as-of-right solar installation in as many districts as possible in the village. So our approach was to write code language that would allow rooftop-mounted solar systems as well as ground-mounted solar systems and how they would be applied to the different districts. So if you can turn to the first page of my memo, it says regulations of general applicability. And that first page, we changed two sections of the ordinance, or that's what we're proposing. One is Chapter 7, Regulations of General Applicability. And this is where we defined the standards for what you would have to do if you were going to install solar. Now, on that first one, 1076A, ground mounted, number two should be eliminated. That should not be in there. This refers to sort of a square footage maximum, and that's not necessary here. So one correction is that 1 through 6 for 1076A, number two talks about unlimited quantity of panels. Number two can just come out. That shouldn't even be there. Don't need to restrict that because of all the other restrictions we have. And what this defines is that for ground mounted, it shows where on the ground it can be on a property, and it gives regulations as to the construction of ground mounted, what the angle has to be, how tilt up it can be, and how high up off the ground it can be if you wanted these panels in your yard. Most people don't put them in your yard, but these are typical standards for ground mounted. What most people do is B, and that's rooftop mounted systems. You see these on residential, and the biggest proponent of these now is not just residential, but high school gymnasiums and office buildings and colleges, and just they have massive flat roofs. So Part B talks about rooftop-mounted energy systems for single-family residential, for multifamily, and then institutional or commercial buildings. And it defines how far they can protrude above the roof, how they have to be mounted, and where battery storage and generators have to go that may be ancillary to a rooftop or a ground-mounted system. And this just talks about, with graphics, how those systems have to be in place. The more important thing is probably Chart 21. This is the other section of the code that we need an amendment in order to do this. And this is the land use chart in Chapter 21 of the zoning ordinance. In the land use chart, it talks about all the different land uses, but it also identifies some accessory uses. And you can see here at the bottom of this chart in black, it says other accessory structures of mechanical. That's existing now. What we're proposing is that text in blue at the bottom. And we have ground-mounted solar energy collection system and roof-mounted solar energy collection systems. For the rooftop-mounted systems, we're allowing those to be permitted in every district as of right, provided you meet all the standards. So you can put panels up on your roof per these regulations. And if you meet these regulations, you can do that with a building permit. If they were going to deviate from these, they would need a variation. It would appear before you. For ground-mounted, what we have is permitted in single-family, R1, R2. But for commercial, for multifamily, institutional, or office, or recreational uses, it would require a special use. They would have to appear here. That means there'd be affixing some sort of device to the ground with structures. You know, like say Concordia University wanted to put a bunch of solar panels on the ground, they would have to come here to get approval. So permitted as of right, rooftop mounted in every district, provided to meet these standards. For ground mounted systems as of right for single family, but with special use for the other districts. And this would meet the sustainability and the village's goal of having criteria that would meet the certification through the solar organization. And these would be the minimum changes made to the zoning ordinance that would get that accomplished.
Questions for Mr. Halsey?
Why was the out as a permitted use?
For this reason, currently, if you were going to do a change in a college campus or one of the schools or the park district. Those are planned developments, and they're only approved in this village as planned developments, just like commercial. And any change to the outward appearance, the exterior site, any construction on that, even if it's fairly nominal, if it changes the site plan, changes the structure appearance, currently has to go for a planned development approval through in front of the DRB, which is a special use application. So because this would change physical construction and new things coming out of the ground on uses that require planned development now for any changes, this would change those properties. So therefore, we wanted to keep the process the same. You don't have to do a public hearing if you want to build an accessory structure or a detached garage in the single family districts. As long as you meet the standards, you can just get a permit. So likewise, if you're going to put solar panels on your roof or a couple of solar panels in your backyard, provided if you meet these standards, you could just pull a permit and do it. But if Concordia University want to put in a bunch of ground-mounted stuff somewhere on their campus because it would impact the visual from the neighbors across the street or park or whatever else, they would have to get a special use like they would have to now for anything. So it's consistent with the approval processes in place now at the village, and we didn't want to deviate from that. That's why. No, because what I understand from the Sustainability Commission and from staff is that it doesn't have to be permitted as of right in every district. You just want to sort of lower the threshold of entry as much as possible as of right in all, with some applicability to get there in every district. Yeah.
So if I understand it, you asked us to ignore standard two. Or A, is that correct?
Correct.
So if with that taken out, I read this, there's now no limitation on the number of collection systems that can be put into a rear yard. Is that correct?
But the limit, that's correct by ordinance or by number, but what the first thing is it has to be in the required rear yard of a property, which is fairly limited to begin with in the residential properties. So even if you're able to put, several in your backyard in their rear, you'd be capped out pretty quickly because of the required rear yard, which is that sort of figure with the blue field in it. So we didn't feel the need to regulate the square footage of what could go there because it's already constrained so severely by the rear yard of every residential
property. I could take my whole backyard, however that's defined under the zoning code, and I could fill it with these structures. Is that correct?
But they only come up on this high off the ground, so they wouldn't have an impact on anybody else. It'd be like putting in a swimming pool or something like that, or a deck. If you wanted to put those in your backyard, in your required rear yard, you could. But it's not the required rear yard isn't just from the back of your house to the back of your property. It's a required setback piece of that. So
right.
Even,
I understand
yeah.
that. We
yeah.
understand
yeah.
that.
Right. Yeah. So there is no limitation other than it has to be in that area.
Question for you real quick. So these solar panels, obviously there is also a battery collection system mm-hmm. for power. And some of these battery collection systems, you know, they can fail. I know this. Mm-hmm. Very seldom do they fail. But when you have something fail, it can cause a fire, and that is extremely high heat. Are we suggesting when someone has one of these put in their home, especially a residential home, are we requiring them to put any type of sprinkler system in right around where the battery packs are stored?
The one thing that it states here for both of these is it has to comply with every other village ordinance standard or requirement. So fire safety, electrical permit, inspections, whatever it has to do to put that system into place. Just like it would for a generator next to your property or something like that.
Do we have anything on that in the zoning, Cliff?
Not in zoning. Solar energy systems are being reviewed under the latest versions of the codes that are out there. Codes for a solar energy system. Not that they are enacted codes of the village at this time, but they are the most applicable codes available, and because we have solar energy was not a thing back then when, so
we'd have to revise.
So we are using latest building codes for regulating all of that.
The reason I ask is because those batteries can burn really hot, and a frame home it can devastate in a matter of minutes.
On your point number six, it talks about the operation subject to all applicable standards of this ordinance.
Right.
So does the word "this ordinance" refer to the zoning code? Shouldn't it be broader than that? Shouldn't it say all village ordinances?
We can amend it to that. I guess we would want it to be, Chairman Martin, consistent with how it's referred to in other sections. Since it's a zoning standard, do we want to apply it to this ordinance only? And I'm thinking about setbacks and other things with regard to life safety or electrical permits or inspections. That's usually handled in the municipal code or the building code section of the municipal code. But we could refer to all other appropriate village codes and ordinances. We could make that change.
Just say that so that there's no, we don't have this certainty of what the language is.
So change all applicable standards of, I will change that to village codes and ordinances, but not just this one.
Okay. All right, Michael, okay.
Yeah.
I don't see rear yard as being defined in our zoning code.
Yard, comma, rear, and then there's required.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yard, comma, rear. Yeah.
So that it's a good question. We could, and again, some cities we work with will say, as long as it's behind the house, we don't care. Others will say, as long as it's in the required rear yard. So if you don't mind if it's anywhere in the backyard, then you could leave it the way it is. If you want it just in the required rear yard, you could put in the word required. And I guess it could be whatever the ZBA would like.
You got any other comments? All right, I had a few thoughts about this. I'm going to support this, but I don't understand what the urgency is. Right now, the village is permitting solar panels, right?
Correct.
Okay. When we've amended the zoning code before, or when we've recommended amendments to the zoning code, it's usually to deal with a specific situation. You know, somebody wanted to put a kitchen or a commercial kitchen or a bakery or something like that. This, to me, this is much broader than that. And if we're contemplating a revision or an examination of the whole zoning code, it seems to me that this is something that perhaps our attorneys would recommend would be in such a new revision. I understand that the purpose of this is to so we can get a silver star instead of a bronze star. But as I read this, the April 19th memorandum says the village, we need 100 points. And it says the village currently has 85 points. We can get the additional 15 points by number two, support a community solar program. And I know our board is very hardworking, and I got to commend them for passing a resolution in September of 22 already, what this says. But let's assume that they pass the appropriate resolution. If that gives them the 20 points that are necessary to go over 100, then doesn't that get that satisfy the village and get them the silver star instead of the bronze star? And wouldn't that give us a reason to hold this amendment until we've had examination of the whole zoning code, so that we don't have confusion like I think there was in this the first hearing tonight? So that's how I look at it. But as I said, I'm willing to support this anyway, but I don't think it's I think the timing is bad. All right. Nobody else wants to talk, so somebody.
Yeah,
Frank, so what you're suggesting is doing a more holistic review of the zoning code to kind of make all sorts of necessary updates and not just do this one amendment to permit the solar panels?
Perhaps, how often does this, Mr. Simon perhaps could tell us, how often does the organization, whose name I don't recall, you know, designate a village as a Silver Star or a Bronze Star? Is that something that we have one opportunity we have to deal with now, or we're going to forever lose it, or will this opportunity come 6 months or a year from now?
Hey, everyone. It's Eric Simon, chair of Sustainability Commission. Just a couple things on that, just to provide some context. First of all, the zoning change is required. So the way the SoulSmart application presents itself is there are a couple requirements that you have to do no matter how many points you have. So the reason we are asking for the zoning change off schedule is because this is required. This is the one thing that we need to get past in order for us to move up to the next level. As far as the timing, the Department of Energy does this once a year. We can reapply anytime, and as long as we have enough points, we will, you know, fall into whatever the next cohort is, you know, to achieve the next level. The reason I think that we tried to do this out of sync was more on the request of several of the trustees who we've been trying to get this enhanced designation for a while now. And they wanted, you know, us to try to get this moving along. Obviously, if this, you know, if the committee doesn't feel like it's makes sense to do this out of sync with your normal process for zoning changes, you know, but we obviously totally respect that.
Thank you for the explanation. I didn't realize that it was one and two. That's not how I read this memo of April 19th.
Ron, if I may, the actual matrix for the silver requirement is on the screen. Now it's a little small, I'll admit, but there's a points criteria, and there's also a requisite criteria, and that is where the zoning clarification is needed. That's parallel requirement to the.
I think a lot of this stuff's really odd, and we need to narrow it down. Too much leeway.
All right. Does anybody want to make any kind of a motion, either that we consider it or that we already have a meeting in July? Do you want to put it over till that time and give Mr. Houseel an opportunity to revise the, you know, revise the amendment? Anybody have any comment on Mr. Smetana's idea that it should be a special use in each of the areas as opposed to a permitted use?
Right. Chairman Martin, if you come to a consensus on Mr. Sana's concern about special versus permitted, you could also discuss the changes that you'd like to have made to the text amendment, and you can direct staff to make them, and you can vote on them tonight. That's just the third option, or you could come back and vote on something that's been done already. Either way, it's the same.
How do you feel about Mr. Smetana's, any comments on Mr. Smetana's suggestion that the ground-mounted collection system be made a special use in every zoning category?
I agree with that.
I agree with that also.
Would that still permit us to gain the silver designation, or does the use of solar panels have to be by right in order for us to move up to the silver category?
I can't answer that question, but it's still allowed as a right rooftop mounted, so it still is. It's just a different thing. So I doubt that it would, but I can't speak to the designation and the award. I don't know.
Okay.
Simon, do you have any information on that?
I do not. I can pull the very specific information that makes up that zoning clarification requirement, but I don't know offhand.
And practically speaking, what's the demand for these type of units in our village? You know, do we anticipate that a lot of people would install these? Or that it wouldn't be that popular for most homeowners.
There's no problem installing them right now.
Right.
So people are getting the permits. Right, Cliff?
Correct.
Ground units also?
There is only one ground unit in the village.
Mr. Simon, if we push this off till the July meeting, what is that going to do to your schedule to try and get the Silver Star?
That's not a problem at all. We're happy to discuss this next month.
Yeah, I think that would give us a little more time to just do some diligence, really. You know, I'd like to go on Google and see what these units will look like, see how large they are, see how they impact backyards when they're installed, just to kind of get a better sense for what they are and how they would look in the neighborhood.
But I guess for direction, there's a few different things we need direction on. One is that not to reference all applicable sections of this code, but all village codes and ordinances. That was one of the changes.
Right. B6, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
B6. Was to eliminate the item that referred to the area maximum. That was another one. The other one was, and I don't know what the consensus is on this or if there is one, to change it to required rear yard or leave it as rear yard. Required rear yard and rear yard are different. How would you like it to be in this one? And then changing the table to special use in every district for ground mounted. Those were the four changes that were discussed. Those are all very simple to make. Mm-hmm. But the only one I don't have direction on is the required rear yard versus rear yard in which you would rather see.
I do too. So that's, I would second that.
So why doesn't somebody make a motion that we continue the hearing on this zoning amendment to the July 14th meeting, the understanding that during that time, Mr. Houseel will make some revisions to his proposed amendments, written amendments to the zoning code, and At the same time, would give Mr. Simon an opportunity to advise us whether, if it jeopardizes the ability to become a Silver Star, if the ground-mounted solar system energy collection systems are special uses as opposed to permitted uses.
Kerry, make a motion to discuss this at the next meeting.
Right, so it's been moved that we continue this to July 14th. Is there a second?
I second.
A second. Any discussion? We got problems? I'll call the roll.
Chairman Martin?
Yes.
Ms. Davis?
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Yes.
Mr. Lucchese?
Yes.
Mr. Plavach?
Yes.
Ms. Schumacher? Mr. Smetana?
Yes.
Okay. We should note in the record that this, I don't remember another time when we've had two unanimous votes at the same meeting. motion to dismiss.
I motion to dismiss.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, thank you.
Aye. Thank you.